Hello and welcome to Focus on Business. I'm your host, Lee Strickland. On today's program, we're going to be talking about giving your business a tune-up. And before I break into the topic, I want to give you a reminder that the comments, views, and opinions expressed on this program do not necessarily and usually represent the opinions of WCOM, its board, and its underwriters. And I want to thank my underwriters for the show, Focus Resources. You can visit the website focusresourcesinc.com and Close HR Connections. And their website is closehrconnections.com. If you want to become an underwriter of WCOM, Focus on Business, or any of our other programs, visit the website wcomfm.org and learn how to underwrite our station and our programs. And now today's topic. It's the new year. You may be starting a new business last year. You may be in the first year of business, or your business may have been around 3, 5, 7, 10, 20 years or more. And what I've found in working in my business and with my clients' businesses is that businesses frequently, like our cars, need a tune-up. So think about it. Did you know your business is like a car? Think of it this way. Your car takes you from one point to another. Your business takes you from one financial destination to another. It requires you to pick that destination, to start up your business, to start up your car, and to steer it. You have to fuel your business. You have to maintain it. And you need to give it regular diagnostics and then tune up the business to make sure it's running properly, that it's doing what you want it to do. So today I want to talk about how you can do some diagnostics on your business to see if it needs a tune-up or if it just needs regular maintenance or if it needs a complete overhaul. And I want to talk about three key systems when I'm talking about your business. Again, I'm going to relate it to cars. So I think we all, pretty much everyone, it seems like, I'm going to say the majority of people, ride in cars, drive cars, own cars, have to maintain cars and deal with it. And we know as car owners that when we do the regular maintenance, when we check the oil, when we top up the fluids, when we make sure we have windshield wiper fluid in for our windshield wipers, when we're checking the antifreeze or the coolant in our radiators, when we're doing all those maintenance items, we know that in the long run we're doing it for two reasons: to keep our car running as intended, and because it's less expensive to maintain something in good condition than it is to have to invest large amounts of money to replace systems, to improve systems that we haven't maintained. And so just like we would realign the tires on a car, we might rotate our tires, we might have to get new tires. When we're looking at our business, we need to think of our business in terms of systems. And we can talk about the three key systems of a car and relate that back to our business. And so the systems I want to talk about today, first I want to talk about how do we diagnose, how do we have a maintenance checklist, how do we go through and make sure we can assess and figure out which systems are working properly and need just a little bit of maintenance, and which systems do we need to give a tune-up, and which systems need new parts, or maybe we need to overhaul our engines. And so let's talk today about those diagnostics, and then we want to look at our business systems in terms of three key systems: the chassis or infrastructure of our business, which is dictated by the type, the stage of our business, and the size of our business. We want to talk about our propulsion system that powers our business, and we want to talk about our drivetrain system that enables us to be in motion, to be steering our business car down the highway to that destination that we've been selecting. And so let's talk about diagnostics a little bit, because I think frequently in businesses, we don't do a vehicle checkup. We just go along and we think our systems that are going to be just fine on their own. And we don't realize it until we come in one morning and we go to boot up our computers and our server's down, or our internet's not working, or we go to make a phone call and we realize that we've sat on our smartphone and it's not going to work, or we've dropped it and or we sent it through the washing machine. There's just different things that until we go to use a system, if we're not consciously checking on it and diagnosing it and monitoring it, like all those little idiot lights and gauges that are on our dashboard of our car, if we're not consciously making effort to monitor the performance of our businesses, just as we do our cars, then we may not get those early warning lights. Have you ever been driving your car down the road and you see a light, an idiot light come on, and they are called idiot lights, warning lights, and it's telling you you need to check something. And you keep driving down the road, and that light goes off. And you think, oh, well, it was just a false alarm. Well, not necessarily, because sometimes those warning lights come on and go off because they've served their purpose. They've warned us, and now we're past the condition where that warning light is going to stay on because we've gone beyond the intervention stage, and we're going to have a major system issue. And sometimes those lights that come on can be signaling some pretty expensive warnings. It's also like driving down the road in your car. And when you call someone, a mechanic, or you take it into the shop, you're going to go in and you're going to tell them, well, you had this noise, and the noise is like a thump, the thump, the thump, or a rattling noise. Or you start, and the mechanic gets in your car and he drives it around and he doesn't hear it. And you try to explain to him the conditions of when you hear this noise. And so the mechanic listens, and you explain to him the conditions where this noise reoccurs. So the mechanic says, well, based on that, it's probably just your belts, or maybe it's a hose, or, you know, it's some little small thing. And he goes in and he makes a change, and that sound doesn't reoccur for a little while. And then all at once that sound's back, and you take it back to the mechanic and you tell him, that wasn't it. It didn't fix that sound. And he talks you through it, and he drives the car around, and he looks at it, and you tell him, well, you think it's this because it's when it's happening. And so he works on these different systems. And so what you're hearing is a symptom. That sound that you're hearing may have been the belts, but it may have been because one of your other systems were triggering something to go wrong with the belt. Maybe something wasn't lubricated properly, or maybe your engine's missing. Something's going on inside the transmission, and it's translating to that noise, and it's intermittent because it hasn't quite hit that critical mass point. But you think you know what that system or what that issue is. Our problem with our businesses, we frequently treat those symptoms. We treat the rattles. We treat the squeaks. We treat the obvious things that we can see or we can hear, but we stop looking beyond what the symptom is. And so when that noise or that squeak or that rattle goes away and we've done some small thing, we think, well, yeah, we got it. That was all that was. But that squeak or that rattle may have gone away, but not for the reason you're thinking about. So when we're talking about diagnosing our business, we want to identify those symptoms of things that we're seeing. Maybe decreasing sales, declining profits, increasing costs, increasing labor costs because of changes in minimum wage due to regulatory changes. It may be things in our business that we need to diagnose internally based on our business systems, just like our car's drivetrain, its propulsion system, the chassis, the tires, just different things that are out there, those systems that are part of our business. Or there may be changes that we need to do, tune-ups and adjustments and overhauls in our businesses because of environmental, external factors that come into play. And so when we're doing a diagnostic checklist, much like we would for our car, we want to go in and we want to look at the key elements of our business systems, and we want to look at them to understand what could be influencing those systems. What is it, an internal issue? Is it an external issue, or is it both? You know, our car may come to a stop along the highway. It may break down because we've had a flat tire. It may break down because we ran out of gas. It may break down because we didn't know to put oil in for the engine. There's any number of reasons why a car or a business may break down along the side of the road, along that journey, along that destination from where we are today to that destination we want to get to tomorrow. And so we need to understand the mechanics of our business. We need to be concerned about them. We need to be concerned about the profitability, about the revenues and the cash flow, and understanding the trends, understanding deviations in those, and from where we thought we were going or where we've done in the past to what is actually happening in our businesses. So just as we look down at our dashboard and we check the fuel. And if we look for those warning lights coming on and we look to see if our engine is overheating or if it's just the right temperature. If we're getting out in the cold and we're warming up our vehicle, we're looking to see if that needle that tells us how the temperature of our engine, is it moving? Is our engine warming up? And just what does that engine represent in our vehicle? And so we're going to look at those systems, and we want to look at our diagnostics from the standpoint of the things that we're going to do for maintenance just because we have so many miles on the business, things that we're going to do because of a certain amount of time passing, things that we're going to do to change our business and help our business stay at its best performance because of environmental factors. And then we're going to look at diagnosing things based on our systems, that chassis system, the drivetrain system, and our propulsion system, and those systems coming together and making sure we have the right components for our type of car, our type of business. Just with cars, businesses are as varied as the producers, the manufacturers, the people who own them. We may see five of the same vehicle out in the parking lot of our business or in our neighborhood. They're identical in color. They're identical in body style and even on down to the hubcaps because that's the way the manufacturer made them. But then when we look at the back of the vehicle, we may see some things that are different. We may see some bumper stickers. We may see just different elements. Somebody may have something hanging from the rearview mirror. We have a different license on our car, license plate on our car. We have different things that are there that start making our cars, while they were identical when they came out of the manufacturer, they start to have a different life. A few dings on the doors, some scratches in the paint, all of those kind of things. And our businesses are very much like that. So from the outside, when we start our businesses, they may look like any other business, but on the inside, and as we start running them and as they start taking on the character and the life of how our business is operated, then we're going to start seeing the little differences on the external aspects of our business and on the inside of the business. And so we want to think about that. So when we're talking about our businesses and we want them to be profitable, we want to see them to see what we can do better. What do we need to change? We start seeing in our financials little warning signals that are on that diagnostic checklist that we want to check our sales, our revenue levels, because that might signal something wrong with our sales engine. We want to check and look at the windshield and see if we can see our goals clearly and we can see that road ahead and we know where we're going. We want to check our GPS there on the dashboard and see if we've got the right destination selected and we've got the optimal route to go there. We want to go through and we want to look at our profitability, that bottom line number. We want to look at our cash flow, the fuel for our business, and understand what is changing in that. What are those things signaling when we look at our financials of our business? How have we been doing versus what our goals were, versus our budgets, versus our plans? And we need a diagnostic checklist, things that we check periodically based on time. Say, we might do that weekly. We want to see how our sales numbers and our sales pipeline is filling up. So we need to check to make sure that the engine oil and things are properly maintained. And that engine oil is our sales calls, our pitches, our proposals, our effort to make a sale, to go from lead to prospect to customer. And we want to look at those types of things. And that's part of our propulsion system. So we're going to make sure that our financials are telling us what we're doing. And then we want to look at that drivetrain system. You want to think of it as the transmission of your business that converts that power of that sales engine into something that moves the vehicle ahead. Because we can make every sale in the world, but if we don't deliver on those sales, we don't have the revenue. If we don't do things in our drivetrain system, our transmissions, our conversion to the power to the wheels to move us ahead, then we need to be checking that. And that's going to show up in our financials. It's going to show up in other places too. And so we want to have diagnostics that are financial related, and we want non-financial related metrics too that we can go in and we can look at our system that gives us those early warning signs, those little early warning lights, those little idiot lights and the gauges that are on our dashboard. What are those? Does your business have a diagnostic checklist that we check periodically? Like on our cars, we might have to do something in the first after the first 10,000 miles of our car. But typically 30,000 miles or 50,000 miles or 70,000 miles or 100,000 miles on our vehicle, there are programmed steps of maintenance that are either at specific times, a number of months or weeks or days have gone by, or a number of years have been gone by, or the mileage tells us that at that mileage, at 30,000 miles, there's certain maintenance we need to do. Do you have those checkpoints built into your business so that you're monitoring the performance of your business, just like you would monitor the performance of your car? So when we're talking about the chassis system, and I want to kind of start there because that's the infrastructure. There's an old song, I think it's a Johnny Cash song, that talks about having a car that's a 59, I think it's a 58, 59, 60, 61, 62 automobile. Because the guy kept getting parts from the auto factory where he worked, and he would bring those parts home. And he brought them home over the years, so when he looked at it, he might have had an engine from the 50s, but he had a transmission from the 60s, and the body style was from the 70s. And you just looked at how he'd cobbled together all of these different systems and put the pieces together. Is your business one that's cobbled together from all these different eras and time frames? Are you still doing business like you did in the 20th century? Are you social media savvy? What's your infrastructure? What is the body type of your business? Are you a four-door sedan, or are you a little two-door sports car maneuvering and lean and mean and ready to move fast down that highway to your destination? Our systems that we need to put in place, that propulsion system and that drivetrain system and the other systems that are smaller but equally important in the function of the business, are they designed for the type of business that you are today and the type of business that you want to be tomorrow? So when you're thinking about diagnosing your car, start with defining what business you're in, what stage you're in, and what your vision is for your business. I'm not going to go put in a Ferrari engine or a Corvette engine in my Honda CR-V. I'm not going to be the Batmobile with all these bells and whistles and fun functional things if I'm a mom and pop on Main Street serving my community. We want to make sure that the business we build and the business we design is the business that we're running and that we want to run in the future. How our business was in the last model year may not be how we want our business to be in the next model year. And so we want to take a look at all of those elements, and we want to think about all the components that we're dealing with in our chassis system. That's our infrastructure, and that tells us what business we're in and how we're going to be able to do business. Growing up in the country, we'll frequently see the small pickup truck with these huge tires and these extended, you know, shock absorber systems and all and axles and everything, because they're going to go off-road in that vehicle. So that vehicle isn't about getting from home to work. That vehicle is built to do something different and to go off-road. So whatever systems that we're creating in our infrastructure systems, our chassis systems, that's going to support and enable our engine to be there to power our transmission, to get movement to the wheels, that we can steer it with our steering wheel and our business and our goals. That's what we have to be thinking about. So you're not going to buy a sports car if you're a family of eight, unless somebody's going to be walking to their destination. So it's got to be thinking about how our systems work. So we can have a great sales engine. We can have a tremendous operational transmission that enables us to take that sales force and that those sales that our sales team is making and deliver on a product and do the operations. But if we've built an infrastructure that is too heavy, cost-wise, staffing-wise, the number of people we're going to try to get in that vehicle and take with us, then we're going to have a different issue. You're not going to put 20 people in a two-seater sports car. one time. You might need a commercial van. You might need a bus. What is your business and what are you trying to do with that business? I've been working with a startup in the past few weeks, and one of their challenges is the vision they have for the organization down the road is the vision they want to build for right now. And that's great. Except they're not financially ready to be a 10-person company with six-figure salaries. They're a startup, and they have to start slower based on the cash flow, based on the capital that they have to fuel the business. And so when they're trying to build their infrastructure right now, they need to build their infrastructure, their chassis system, for it to be configurable, for it to be upgradable, and so that the core of the chassis system, the framework is there, but they're not going to get all the seats in that bus all at once, or they're not going to get very far. So they have the spark plug of an idea that's starting their business. And so that spark plug is firing that battery, and it's firing that battery is triggering that engine to turn over, and all of these systems are starting up. But if they start up too many things and try to take too many people on board to ride in this business right now, they're not going to make it through 2017 because they don't financially have the fuel to keep that vehicle moving. And so when you're looking at starting the business or you're looking at your existing business, understand that capacity to maintain fuel in the system. Do you have the cash and the capital, either from operations or from funding sources, to make that spark, that spark plug can trigger to get your car going, to get your business going, that it can not only trigger that spark, but that battery is just going to start the car up, and the car, the engine's going to be able to drive that organization, to drive your business to grow. Have you ever stopped in the parking lot and you turned off the engine, but you left the car on auxiliary? And that meant the car's lights will still work and the radio still works, and you may still be able to have certain systems working in the car, but everything's not working. You're pulling power from that battery, from that reserve. And that's kind of like what happens when you have your sales engine going and something goes wrong or you stop, or that feeding system, that fuel system is turned off. And now the company has to start running on the reserve power of that battery. And that battery serves a couple purposes. It's energy, it's fuel, it's power to enable some of the systems to continue to work, but not all the systems. Now, if you have a hybrid car, then we're talking about a different type of battery, or you have an electric car. But in this case, we're talking about a traditional combustion engine car. And the battery is simply auxiliary power for starting and continuing the operations when the engine isn't on and isn't fully engaged and isn't powering the vehicle using the fuel, the diesel, or the gas, the cash of the business. So we need to be thinking about our chassis system as to what can we power, what can we structure, that when we place the right engine and the right transmission and we get the steering wheel and all the other components of our business car assembled, that we can power that. Now, unlike cars, businesses can grow within certain constraints and capacities. If I'm a two-seat sports car type business, then I can only seat two people. Now, I might be able to put a trailer on the back and haul some things with me, but I'm not going to be seating anybody else on a trailer, dragging it behind my car. So when my business changes, as my market changes, I might need to move from a two-seat sports car to a four-seat sedan or an eight-seat SUV. I might need an economy van. I might need a panel van. I might need a truck. Whatever it is, we have to understand that as we structure our business in that chassis system, so goes our business's ability to adapt and respond. And that means making the systems and the elements work. Sometimes we need a new car. And that means we go back and we look at our businesses and we look at those diagnostics and it says we're constrained because our chassis system, our capacity, our infrastructure can only seat two people. Meaning we can only generate so many sales, we can only handle so much capacity. And it may be time to trade that two-seater in to get a different vehicle, that eight-passenger van. And that is something that we start knowing by looking at our diagnostic checklist, checking the time, checking our results, checking those warning lights and those engine lights and those other gauges that let us know how fast are we going and how's the engine doing and how's the transmission doing and how many people are now wanting to sit in this vehicle that is our business. How many people are we going to employ? How many managers do we have? All of those things are about the chassis system and the infrastructure. And that chassis system changes. And we may need to replace it and upgrade the vehicle that we're driving because our sales engine is so great at generating power for the business. And if your sales engine is not that great, you're going to start seeing that on that top line revenue. It's either stabilized or it might be declining or it's struggling. It goes up and then it comes back down because it's signaling there's a capacity issue. We're not capable of delivering all the sales and to all the customers that we're that there's capability to produce sales. That sales engine may be revving, and you might see that system start hitting a red line, hitting that red area because that sales engine is heated up. You've been doing great, and there's lots of opportunity, and you've got the right solution for the right need in the marketplace. But the problem is the capacity is constrained by that chassis, by that infrastructure, and we just can't handle all the sales that our sales engine is capable of generating. And so we start having other systems issues. We start hearing little rattles and squeaks and things that are not quite going right, and we start tweaking those little systems, and we're not looking back and seeing that those squeaks and those rattles and those other noises that we're hearing are a result of being constrained by our infrastructure. And so we have to understand the relationship between our propulsion systems, our engines, and all the components that go along with that engine that are our marketing, our business development, our communications, our branding. It's all of those things that are bringing in opportunities, that are bringing leads and prospects, and then we're able to close the sale. But we have issues when we can't deliver on the sale. When I was working with a client down in Mexico, we were trying to diagnose what was going on with their organization. And so we went around all the systems and we looked at the sales guys who were selling, and we looked at, you know, even HR, and we looked at financials for indicators, and we looked at different things. And we found that there were two systems that were at issue. It was a sales system and it was a logistics system issue. And what do I mean by that? Well, our sales guys were really great at selling, and they were also great at making promises for when there were going to be deliveries. We were going to be able to. And so in reality, we might, that business, that client business, might be able to produce the product in 6 weeks. And so that's true. So the sales guys are like, we can have that produced in 6 weeks. And so the customer's hearing, I can have delivery in 6 weeks. The problem was logistically manufacturing that product and then delivering it. We could manufacture it in 6 weeks. We couldn't deliver it in the same time frame. It would often take 6, 8, 9 weeks or even more to get the product that we could manufacture in 6 weeks to the customer. Why? Because we had a logistics issue. The client wasn't able to control or even influence their current transportation provider to improve delivery times. And sometimes the logistics people, the shippers, were doing it in their optimal time. The problem was this is a huge product being delivered, and the only way to deliver it was via a shipping container, and it was a 6 weeks ship time. And so we had a disconnect between our sales engine, who were doing great, and they could make these wonderful promises about our products and our services, and the problem became making the sales and the logistics align. Could we still get the sale from the customer when we gave them the reality of, yes, we can produce it in 6 weeks, but it's going to take us another 6 weeks to get it delivered to you? Do you still want to buy it? And in this case, the answer was yes. So it's important to also understand how the systems have to interface. And when we see our sales numbers going down and we see complaints from customers rising, what are those rattles and those whistles and those squeaks telling us about our process? And it's going in and looking at it and understanding that. When our sales engine starts slowing down, or it's redlining because it's working so hard but it's not producing with the same power that we've done before, then we need to take a look at that and we need to understand just what the issue is. It may not be the engine. It may be something feeding the system or constraining it. And so that engine just keeps powering on and trying to do more and more, and it's overheating because we have so many opportunities and we can sell them and we're doing that, but it's not translating the power to move the business ahead because some other aspect of our business is holding that power back. It's constraining it. Sometimes those factors that are constraining our sales engine and our ability to transform that power of that sale through our system to move our vehicle ahead, to get the performance, to show the revenues and the profits and the cash flows, are not a systems issue. Our systems as we have them currently designed for the purpose that we've designed them are working fine. And then some external environmental factor comes into play. So I'm going to say I'm in that little low-riding two-seater sports car and I'm zipping down the road and suddenly I run out of pavement. And I'm not going to zip quite as fast on gravel. And I keep driving down that road and suddenly the gravel is gone and I'm on dirt and my traction's a little bit different on there. And my windshield is getting a little covered up because that dirt's flying up and it's getting this wonderful little sports car I've got driving down the road all covered with dirt. As I keep driving on down the road, I not only go from dirt, now I'm mired in mud and my little sports car just can't get through the mud. What happened? Maybe it's a regulatory change. Maybe the road that I was going down changed so drastically from this nice, smooth asphalt or concrete of an interstate highway with few exits off and just wide open spaces for me to zoom through and make sales and everything's going well. It may have changed. The government may have issued a new regulation that says, no, your sports car can't travel on paved highway. You're going to do gravel. And something else changes, and suddenly we're on that dirt and we're struggling to find traction. And the next thing we know, we're mired down in some other regulatory issue, and our car can't get traction, and we're stuck. What are we going to do when the regulations change? We may need a different vehicle. Our business may need to be one of those jacked up pickup trucks with the huge mud tires and the high clearance to get us in that through that muddy environment. We may need an ATV, an all-terrain vehicle, to get us through. We may need some all-wheel drive or some four-wheel drive. We might need new tires. We might need a bigger engine. But when something in our environment changes, we're going to start seeing it again in the financial aspects, but it also might be in our operational day-to-day aspects. We might start hearing from our team and our employees about how hard it is for us to control the costs now of our products or our services because of mandated increases in minimum wage or changes in overtime regulations or some tariff in a country where we're shipping our products to. It may be something about competition for employees. And it may not have anything to do with minimum wage, but we need a higher skilled, we need a certified workforce. So you're running a restaurant, and there's health and safety rules that people have to be trained on. And let's say everyone wasn't able to get in to get that training done. And so you have a limited workforce that's trained on those new regulated ways of doing business, of running your restaurant, the things you can and cannot do. And so we're having to adapt, and we have to change, and we have to overcome. And we have to understand that environmental influences may require us to overhaul our businesses. It may require just a small tune-up. But often we find, especially as small businesses, we have to have a harder time responding to regulatory changes because it's not in our system, in our processes, to have, well, it's not in our capacity to have huge numbers of people sitting in our finance and our accounting groups watching and monitoring this. You may have one person, you may have 10 people, but our businesses change, and they're producing, our finance and our accountants are producing our financial statements, and they're doing all of these important types of things behind the scenes. We need to communicate into those systems, and they need to communicate out that there are warning signs that we need to start looking at how things are happening and what is this. Now, when I was at Ford, I was based in the North American operations, but I loved to go in and sit in and listen to our Asian and our European operations and our South American operations and listen to what was going on. And I loved to be reading up on changes in those areas. I read for the United States, for North America, Canada, and Mexico. But I also like to monitor things that were going to impact our business in Europe and in Asia and in South America and Australia. And so I was constantly monitoring different systems of information out there. And I remember reading an article in one of my management magazines about a trend that was expected, actually a regulatory change that was going to be occurring in Europe. And there was an estimate of the cost that that would have to be going in. And the change had been planned for about 3 years, but we had an implementation date coming up. And I'm sitting in the back of the room behind the executives that were talking to the European executives. And I'm hurriedly writing myself notes, and I'm thinking about, well, what about this regulatory change that was coming up? No one was mentioning it. And I'm just kind of monitoring things, and I'm thinking, well, I wonder if it's actually in their budgets. And so didn't say anything at that meeting, but I went home. I got the article. I made a copy of it, and I dropped it into my executive's inbox with a little note that said, thought you might want to review this. This is coming up. I didn't sign it. I just kind of dropped it in his inbox, and he saw it. And at the next meeting I sat in on, he asked him about it. And deer in headlights is the best thing I can think of, is that everyone stopped, and he asked them a question about how much was in our system budget for making the modifications to the organization to adapt to this new regulation. And somehow, with that deer caught in headlights, we knew that there was nothing in our system, in our financials, in our plan to adapt to this environmental change. And so there was a lot of talking going on about that. And I was, I said, I like to monitor things. So I would watch and read about HR issues, about regulatory changes, about taxation, about trade issues. And we're constantly, the more we constantly monitor our external environment for our business, the more time we have to make a plan and to adapt, to shift resources, to acquire other resources, to come up with a new strategy for how our business is going to do business. We're going to change that chassis. We might put in a new engine. We might put in a turbocharger or a supercharger. Whatever it is that we're going to do to make our business better. We might want one of those little fuel economy buttons that lets our business drive a little bit greener. So we need to be thinking about and monitoring our external environment that's going to require us to change how we do business. And think about it. Again, going back to the car. A car that we would have purchased in the 50s, the 60s, or 70s wasn't all about fuel economy. It wasn't about how many miles per gallon, the MPGs that we get, and CAFE emissions. But the environment changed. We had a energy crisis in the 70s, and prices skyrocketed, and things, supply was kind of constrained, and there were all these issues. We can relate that kind of fuel crisis to what can happen in our businesses, in that we have a fuel crisis called capital, a capital crisis, an access to capital, a cost of capital crisis, that when we're trying to adapt our business and we're trying to change, we need to be able to have that fuel, that cash flow, either from our operations, from our reserves, or from funders such as banks and other lenders, or from investors that are going to allow us to go in and say, here's our business, here's the diagnostic checklist we've run through, we've been doing this maintenance, we've done a few tune-ups, but right now we need a system overhaul, we need a new engine. Or our transmission's locking up, we're not able to get the power from that sales engine translated to the vehicle, we need a new transmission. So when we're thinking about our businesses, we need to think in terms of financial and non-financial measures, about internal systems and constraints that are built into those systems, and where do we deploy capital to actually make a change in capacity. In the manufacturing environment I came out of, we knew the capacity of each piece of equipment depending on how it would run, and sometimes we would be able have to reproduce 2, 3 or more product components off of one set of equipment. And so that meant there was change over time. And so we would lose productive capacity by how we changed over that equipment and how we scheduled it and how we sequenced the products that we were going to run through that piece of equipment. And so the piece of equipment that had the most constrained capacity, if we wanted to improve how our production, our assembly lines were going to perform, if we spent money anywhere other than that one piece of equipment that was trying to generate 2 or 3 different products and had so much conversion changeover time that we would lose productive capacity, then the only place we needed to be spending money was on that particular piece of equipment. And maybe it meant buying an additional piece of equipment to produce the components, and so that there were 2 pieces of equipment keeping up with the rest of it. So it added real capacity. Too often when we do these diagnostics with clients, too often when we're in there and they're spending money on systems, they're spending money on things that are not the constraints for the business. Or they're not monitoring their fuel consumption, their burn rate. And so their MPGs are going down because they're going too fast. Or they have too big a load on the engine and the transmission and the systems for what the vehicle was designed to do. And so when we're a business, think of the miles per gallon. That's the return per dollar we're investing and we're deploying. What are we doing? How are we doing using the resources that we have? We want to see that engine staying in the right range on the temperature gauge. We want to see our fuel economy being efficient. We want to be able to hit that fuel efficiency button and be a little greener in driving down the road. We want to go further on with less resources. So think about it again, miles per gallon. Would you rather drive a car that gets 7 miles per gallon or one that gets 37 miles per gallon? It makes a difference in how far your car can travel on the limited amount of fuel that you could afford to put in the car, or the amount of fuel you have to put in it right today. So think of your business in the same way. The fuel is the cash flow. The fuel is the payments from your customers. The fuel is about powering the engine. Think about it. The fuel of your business comes operationally from the cash conversion from resources that you acquire. You transform and you sell to the customer, and the customer pays you for them. That cash conversion cycle influences your MPG, or let's say your SPC, your sales per cash. What do your sales tell you about your business right now? Do you know what your financials reflect? What is the capacity? What piece of equipment? What one thing can you do to fine-tune your business, to do a business tune-up. In January, it's a good time to think about what you learned from your results in the previous year. It's actually a good time any year, but January in particular, it's kind of like New Year's resolution time. The majority of businesses are finishing a calendar operational year, and we have those financial results, and we can look and see what were our sales, what was our gross profit, what was our net profit, how does that compare to previous years, what does it compare to what we're going to plan to do this year. Take a look at your gauges, at your warning lights. Look at your financials. Talk to your people. Assess your environment. Is your engine overheating? Is it running too cold? Because it doesn't have enough fuel. It doesn't have the right oil. It doesn't have the right things going on to feed it, to power it up, to use its most efficient mode of operations. Is your business in drive or is it in reverse? Is it in neutral? What's going on with your business? Look at your financials. Sit down and figure it out. Do a diagnostic. Start with what you know. Look for the bells. Look for the whistles. Look for the squeaks. Look for the rattles. Look for the things that are working and the things that seem to be slowing down. Think about your business in those terms of those systems. Do your environmental assessment. Look at your gauges. Look at the windshield. Look at your GPS. Where do you want to take the business this year? What's it going to take to get there? Think about your business in terms of miles per gallon. Think about it in terms of what's fueling that sales engine, what's keeping it lubricated and working, and how's that transmission working? Is all that power, all those opportunities that your sales team is generating, are you capitalizing on it with the rest of your business? What's your burn rate? How fast and efficient are you using your resources to keep that engine going, to keep the transmission humming along and working and the tires going down the road? Are you still on smooth asphalt? Or are you hitting a few potholes? Do you see gravel ahead? Are you heading towards a dirt road? Or are you mired in the mud? Do you want to be a sports car? Or do you want to be a charter bus? Maybe you want to be a train or a supersonic jet. Whatever vehicle you want your business to be, design it for that. Look at the systems and make sure you have the right systems for the business that you're in or the business you want to be in. I worked with a client a couple years ago that had been in business for 30 years. They'd been doing pretty well all along, growing slowly. They didn't want to be huge. In all those years, everybody was just kind of making a good living. They wanted to be a lifestyle company. And then things changed. They wanted to grow. They wanted to have more value so that the investors could sell their shares and move on to the next stage of their life. They wanted to retire. And so when we started looking at their business, we realized they had a lot of moving parts going on. But they didn't realize that they were actually trying to drive 5 different cars at once. And the problem was they were all being fueled from the same fuel tank. And they were all using the same sales engine. And each of them consumed resources at a different rate. And of the, I think it was 5 different lines of business they were in, only 3 were truly profitable. And the other 2 were consuming more fuel, more cash, more resources than they should have had because they weren't generating sales and profits. And so when we looked at the business and looked at the charts, we looked at the financials, and we started identifying where the warning lights started coming on, and what those warning lights were signaling when, so that there were performance indicators for going ahead. We got rid of those two non-productive, non-profitable vehicles for the business and let them concentrate on three that were supercharged, turbocharged in the sales area. And we shifted their resources to those, and they've been growing and profitable ever since. And so when you're thinking about your business, how many cars are you trying to keep on the road? Is it one car? Is it a sports car? Is it that charter bus? Is it a lifestyle business, or is it a growing business? And you really do want to put multiple cars on the road serving multiple customers and providing multiple products. What is your business doing? Whatever it is, whatever the optimal design is, whatever the most profitable design is, whatever your metrics are going to be, remember, your business is going to need some maintenance. You're going to have to do some tune-ups. You want to kick the tires. You want to check the tread. You want to check the air pressure. You want to make sure all the lug nuts are on the tires. You want to check the mileage. And you want to know when different things, like your sales engine. You know, on a car, an engine only has so many miles on it, even if it's well maintained. At some point, that engine's going to die. Is this the year that your sales engine is dying? And you need to start looking for a new sales engine. You need to find new customers, new problems to solve, new markets to enter. Well, if you're aware of that, then you can start looking around and building that new sales engine before the current one dies. What's the spark that's going to make that new engine start up and run well? You're going to have to switch it out. Or you're going to put in a new structure. You're going to get a new chassis and a new transmission. You're going to get a whole new vehicle and shift your business into hyperdrive with that new vehicle. Are you just replacing a system, upgrading a system? What is it your business needs to do based on your dashboard and where you're looking down the highway to go? Do you need some cooling in because your engine's overheating? Or maybe your system's freezing up? Are you stepping on the brakes too often because you're afraid to take your business to the next step? And what all is going on in your business, internally and externally? What do you need to do to evolve the business? Think about your diagnostic checklist. Start with financial performance. This is the time of year where most businesses are finishing up the other year. They're looking at their financials. They're looking at that tax bill. They're looking to decide how last year was. We can't change last year, but we can take the lessons that last year's performance will give us, those diagnostics, those indicator lights, those warning lights, and those fuel gauges, and let us know what we need to be tuning up right now in our businesses for this next year. We can make substantial changes if we make the right choices and we're aware we need to make them. Is it a new belt? Do you need a new hose? Need new engine coolant or antifreeze? Do you need a different type of fuel? Or do you need a whole new sales engine? What is going on with your business? And how are you going to figure that out? So think of your business by mileage, by time, by goals, by resources. And look at your business not just one way, but look at it from multiple directions. And if you think something needs to change, but you're just not sure what, then ask for help. Talk to your team first. You'll be amazed how many business owners don't recognize the valuable resource and information and potential solutions to issues within their business that reside within the expertise of their employees and their existing advisors and vendors. I know one vendor sold multiple products, software products, and he kept waiting for one of my clients to ask him if there was a better solution than the software they were currently using. And while, you know, our common client got their newsletters and all this stuff, he wasn't even thinking about the fact that the software he'd been using for 10 years, there might be something better and different that was easier to use, less costly, less time consuming. And so finally one day the vendor asked me, he says, what do I do to get them to think about upgrading their software? And I said, well, with this particular client, you just need to set an appointment and you just need to go in and tell him, I think it's time you looked at upgrading your software. And these are the reasons why. And here's the return on investment. And here's what your business will gain. This is how your sales engine will be that much more powerful and your fuel economy will be even better. And just explain it to him. And that's what he did. And it took a little convincing and it took a little bit of time. But finally, the client recognized that, yes, it was time for a new software system in there that was going to help them take the business to the next level. And so what do you need to do? Who do you need to ask? Don't have a team about you. Maybe you're a solopreneur and you're the only one in your business. Reach out to a business consultant. Reach out to an accountant. Reach out to your attorney. Reach out to other business owners that are in the similar situations and running similar businesses and see what's going on. But make the decisions based on informed information, based on your diagnostics, and based on your vision for the future. And keep your windshield clean so you can see that if you're on the road, you're still between the lines and what the road ahead looks like.